Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's a Wednesday. You all know what that means. It's time now for Supernatural News and Parish Share. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Right over there is a co-hostess with the mostest. She was here with us yesterday and reminded us that the perfect gift for your loved one is a big bag of dicks. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, Mally Fox. Mally, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. It's kind of hoping we let that just stay in the past.
No, never let your big bag of dicks go because it could fall on somebody and hurt them. I'm just saying. I haven't stopped laughing since yesterday. I will let it go eventually. I will let it go eventually.
Eventually. I like how you say it. We'll let it go eventually.
Eventually. We have too much in the news in order to, you know, keep harboring on it, but yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. Speaking of in the news, folks, boy, oh boy, do we have lots and lots of news. By the way, if you have a news story for us, send it to tim@darknessradio.com. If you have a Parishare story, you can type it up, send it to tim@darknessradio.com. If you want us to hear your lovely voice, just go to darknessradioshow.com. Click on that blue button on the right-hand side of the website. Speak into your computer. And, by the way, we will be able to hear your voice that way. You got 2 minutes to give us your story. If you need more time, click the blue button, lather, rinse, repeat, and give yourself another 2 minutes. And I'll stitch it together, play it right here on the big program. Otherwise, we've had, Mally, a couple weeks ago, we had someone actually produce their own, very own theater of the mind-like experience, and I played it here on the program. It was huge. It was big.
Very cool.
Yeah, so you can do that as well. Put some sound effects behind it. Put some music behind it. Put me out of a job. I don't give a shit. sure, why not? Actually, I'd rather enjoy it if you were to put all those effects behind it. It saves me a lot of time, so I enjoy that. Actually, I get a kick out of it when people fully produce their stories. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a little deal for you guys. I got the green light from Emily over at Audio Boom the other day. I had a meeting with her. So I'm going to be producing up a little program that she'll hear on this very feed in between days at Darkness Radio is not on your feed. I know I've just confused you, Mally. I'm sorry.
I didn't know you wanted me to respond because we already talked about it. So that's why I was
I know you and I have talked about it. I smelled the smoke from over there in Michigan.
My brain's working. What? I didn't know you wanted me to reply. Sorry.
Right. I'm not going to give specifics, but it's going to start. I know I keep teasing you about it, but it's going to start here probably in the next week or two. And you'll see a program pop up. It's going to be a very short program. Just a little something to put a little seasoning in your steak for the day. We'll put it that way. But if you see
it's a very cool idea.
It's a very cool idea. And it's just call it a little topper for the beginning of your day or a little nightcap for the end of your day, one or the other. Nice. But you'll see it and you might initially say, I didn't sign up for this. But bear with me. And let me know what you think. You'll see it. It'll show up as Darkness Radio's such and such. That's not the name of it, but...
Wouldn't it be funny if it was?
Yeah, that'd be funny if it were the name. But you'll see it come up here probably on Mondays and Fridays. And just let me know what you think. When you get it, you'll know what it is. It's like Christmas in June is what it'll be. May and June. If you like it, let me know if you want to continue to have it in this feed or if you'd like a separate feed for it Monday through Friday. I'm not going to take it Monday through Friday yet until I know that you guys are liking it, appreciate it, want more of it. If you hate it, then just say, hey, I hate it. Get rid of it. And I'll get rid of it.
I think they're going to like it, though.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So just a little something extra from us here at Darkness Radio to you. So there's that. There's that little announcement. The other announcement, Mally, I can finally say it now that it's in the can. It's ready to go. And boy, did I have fun today.
Mm-hmm.
The big guest. Should we tell him who it is?
Go for it.
That's actually in one of his songs. Just
but
go
for
it.
It.
Yep. Yeah, I think it was his future wife that did that voice. I'm not sure. I forgot to ask him. Ladies and gentlemen, a week from Thursday, rock guitar god, music virtuoso, and maestro Steve Vai will be with us on the big program. It's a supersized program.
Mm-hmm. Now tell them, for the people that don't know, who Steve Vai is. Steve
That's
Vai.
True, because some of you may not know.
Yes.
Steve Vai was one of the guitarists for Frank Zappa. He was, when David Lee Roth broke it off with Van Halen, when Adam Sandler's girlfriend put on the Van Halen t-shirt and broke up the band. That's an inside movie joke mm-hmm. for you kids.
Wedding singer.
Wedding singer, there you go. When David Lee Roth split and formed his own band, he was the guitarist that Billy Sheehan brought into the group or introduced Dave to. Believe it or not, do you know who Dave's choice was for the David Lee Roth band?
Uh-uh.
Steve Stevens from the Billy Idol band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But Steve Stevens wasn't available, so Billy Sheehan said, hey, I know another Steve. And you got Steve Vai, who ended up being probably the right choice for that band, because you got songs like Yankee Rose. You got the talking, laughing guitar in the middle of that song. You got some amazing songs from Dave in there in those two albums, both Eat 'em and Smile and Skyscraper. And then Dave went off the rails. But then after Dave went off the rails, David Coverdale decided Whitesnake needed a shot in the arm. Mm-hmm. And he called Steve Vai, to which the other members of Whitesnake said, what are you doing that for? But actually, they did an album called Slip of the Tongue, which featured Steve Vai's solos and some of his guitar work. It ended up being one of Whitesnake's better albums. So he was in Whitesnake for a short time. Steve has had some amazing solo work as well. And there's a couple of albums out there. One he released, I believe, during the time he was with David Lee Roth, called Flexible. There's another one that he released while he was with Roth called Passion and Warfare, which is one of the most acclaimed solo guitar albums of the 20th century. Steve has created a guitar for his latest album, which came out in 2022, called Inviolate. And it's called the Hydra. It's a three-necked guitar, which actually caused him physical injury to play. He had to have shoulder surgery in order to play this thing. Now, Steven is an unusual person in that he is the rock guitarist's guitarist. When rock guitarists are asked, who do you want to be when you grow up? They say Steve Vai. He's that talented. In fact, some people would swear to you that Steve Vai is an alien, because he plays notes that nobody else can play. He plays, mm-hmm. he plays unlike anybody on this earth. So me being a Vai head, for lack of a better term, it's one of those interviews that I absolutely had to have. And I got him.
Cool.
So there you go. So he'll be on this program a week from Thursday. And as someone who's worked with Frank Zappa, who had an unusual outlook on life, as someone who works with David Lee Roth, who had an unusual outlook on life, and as someone who, if you listen to Steve Vai's music, is someone who is uniquely tied to spirituality, to religion, to even the, he'll tell you the supernatural. He says, I don't do paranormal, I do supernatural. Self-admittedly had a very dark, dark period in his life. And by the way, if you still say, I don't know who Steve Vai is, if you've seen the movie Crossroads with Ralph Macchio, however you say it.
The Karate Kid guy?
The Karate Kid guy. Mm-hmm. He was Jack Butler, the devil's guitarist.
Okay.
The guy with the red guitar who took on Ralph Macchio. That's Steve Vai. So there you go. Everybody in this world probably knows who Steve Vai is. You just didn't know who he was. So he'll be on the big program a week from Thursday. And yes, there will be a video component to this. So you'll be able to watch the actual footage of the interview as well. So there you go. Big show coming up a week from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a good one. It's a good one. Yeah. So there you go. That's the big agenda I had for the beginning of the show. Now that we're 10 minutes in. And by the way, bag of dicks. There, I mentioned it. We're done with it for the day.
Thank you. Now we
can move on for the show. We got lots of stories today, Mally. Not only are we talking aliens, but boy, oh boy. I actually asked Steve about AI. Mm-hmm. AI and music. We got some AI stories today. He had an interesting answer about AI. I'm just going to tease you with that. You'll find out about that a week from Thursday. I also asked him if he'd like to hear what music sounds like in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very interesting answer about that as well. God, there's so many good questions in this interview. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Also on the big program today, we'll be talking about a very haunted castle and someone's run-in with it. And we've got more security camera footage with a ghostly figure having to do with a child 1 month after his grandfather's death. And ending the program today, we're going to talk about Costa Rica's Cave of Death. I think I dated her in college, Mally. Of course, I had to get my shot in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all today on the big program. But first, this was a popular story that was sent in to me all week long. We can't get the Las Vegas aliens out of our heads or out of our hearts. They're back in the news today and this week. Of course, I'm talking about the aliens that came to Las Vegas and were captured by that family in the backyard. They mm-hmm. called the police on them. They got some video of them near a forklift. Well, this Las Vegas alien video's previously missed detail proves that it's authentic, according to an expert. They're saying you can't deny it, Mel.
Oh.
Yeah. When a Las Vegas family told police that they saw something not human in their backyard, they were not lying, according to a veteran crime scene recreation expert. Scott Roeder of Evidence Room Animation and Exhibits used his expertise in motion tracking software to analyze the video of a purported UFO crash landing in Sin City in April of 2023. He told News Nation they tried to debunk the responding officer's body cam footage or prove something was added to the video. Now, he said, he is convinced there were two creatures creeping around the family's Las Vegas yard that night. All of our results came back as authentic, Roeder said. There's no editing. That is an original video. Last year, Las Vegas police responded to a bizarre 911 call after a resident said he saw a tall, skinny alien creature with greenish hair about 8 to 10 feet tall. That was the creature right there. Run. No, I'm just kidding.
Sorry, a cop. No, you know me. I'm getting over another cold.
I'm kidding. I'm just giving you crap, darling. He told police the creature hid behind a forklift in their backyard. I looked at it in the eyes and my body just froze like having sleep paralysis, the witness Angel Kenmore previously said in a YouTube video. He had a weird looking face, big feet, and big shiny eyes and a big mouth. He just
That's
described
my prom date.
See, you beat me to the punchline. There you go. Yeah, you get one of those. I can hear its loud, deep breathing and its stomach keep moving. That was right after dinner at the prom, wasn't it, Mally? He would just stare at me, and seconds later, I could move again. That was right after the dance. See, just saying. Roeder pored over the footage and watched it over and over again until he finally spotted what he missed every time. Two beings in the video at the same time, he told News Nation's show Banfield. Using motion tracking software that zeroes in on the source of motion, Roeder said he attached motion to a figure in the background to show that the movement of the shadow reflects the movement of a body that is attached to the head. We don't believe it's a floating head, he said. We believe it's attached to a body, and the motion of that head from right to left is consistent with the motion that we see between the slats of the fence. The story has been fiercely debated since a streak of light lit up the Las Vegas sky late April 30th of 2023. It's hard to believe it's been over a year already since that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's been that long.
No. At least 21 people across Eastern California, Arizona, Nevada, and Utah reported seeing the glowing green light, according to the American Meteor Society. Ben Hansen, host of UFO Witness, is among the non-believers. He believes the creature is a shadow, according to News Nation. Roeder responded by saying, I don't believe that makes any sense. And if it's a shadow, it should be easy to replicate it. If that happens, he told News Nation he will reconsider his stance. For now, for him, the video is legitimate proof that aliens came to Earth. Other experts and journalists, including George Knapp, a leading reporter on UFO-related stories, told Fox News Digital last year that he spoke to the family after the crash, and he didn't detect a hint of a hoax. Metro Police took it seriously. The officers who respond to the 911 call interviewed the three witnesses and found them to be sober and credible, Knapp said last year. They searched the backyard, looked for physical evidence, canvassed the neighborhood for more witnesses, then returned a day later for a follow-up. We had multiple conversations with the family over the past four weeks and didn't detect a hint of a hoax, but what really happened, we don't know. For several weeks after the incident, Las Vegas police set up surveillance around the house because the family was afraid for their safety, the police went on to tell Fox News Digital at the time. You know, after you see multiple videos of this, Mally, I don't think it's much in dispute. I don't dispute it that they saw something or they saw somebody back there by that forklift.
Correct. Yeah, I don't think it was a shadow.
No, not at all. And that's why I don't know why Ben Hansen is coming out and saying shadow. That seems like it kind of smells of its own little conspiracy there that he wants to kind of debunk it. I don't know what that's all about, but well. Let's move on. What is Kona Blue is the question. We go back to Las Vegas where the proposed UFO technology has been unveiled. Information has recently surfaced shedding light on an ambitious program that would have researched UFO technology in southern Nevada, aiming to exploit the tech, interview witnesses to extraterrestrial activities, and study the physical and psychological effects of the encounters. Codenamed Kona Blue, Las Vegas would have been the eye of the storm when it came to UFO technology investigations if the program had come to fruition. But why the transparency now? Well, Dr. James Lekatsky, who's a former Defense Intelligence Agency analyst and missile expert, has some insight. It was completely UFO-related, Lekatsky said, regarding Kona Blue. In 2007, Lekatsky became interested in reports of UFO activity at certain hotspots, including a property in northeast Utah known by its nickname, Skinwalker Ranch. Hey, I think we know about that place.
Mm-hmm.
Lekatsky designed and championed a highly secretive program called the Advanced Aerospace Weapons System Application Program, or AWSAP, an acronym that purposefully omits terms regarding UFOs. He met with Nevada Senator Harry Reid, who, along with two Senate colleagues, secured $22 million in funds. With the contract awarded to a subsidiary of Bigelow Aerospace, AWSAP became the largest acknowledged UFO investigation in history. OSAP boasted 50 full-time employees, mostly based in southern Nevada, and created the world's largest UFO data warehouse. It spawned more than 100 technical papers on different aspects of UFO technology and related phenomena. DIA has not released any of those papers, by the way. However, Lakatsky, the overall project manager, and his colleague, Dr. Colm Kelleher, the on-site manager in Las Vegas, have co-authored two books about OSAP, reporting as much as government officials would allow. In his 2023 book, Lakatsky casually revealed that in 2011, he informed a U.S. senator and a high-ranking official that the United States was in possession of a craft of unknown origin and had successfully gained access to its interior. This craft had no intakes, exhausts, wings, or control surfaces, and no engine, fuel tanks, or fuel. Makes it hard to get off the ground then, doesn't it?
You would think.
Yeah. In other words, the U.S. had a flying saucer. Well, congratulations on that. I'll give it a golf clap. Yeah. Since that revelation, Lakatsky has declined to say anything unauthorized by the Pentagon. There was more to it, considerably more to that discussion about what the situation was, Lakatsky said. We can't get into that. Well, I guess this article's over then. However, thanks to a surprise release from the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, you kids know it as AARO, the Pentagon's current UFO program, the public is more able to read between the lines. The formerly top secret document, declassified in February by Homeland Security, describes Kona Blue, a program designed by Lakatsky, Kelleher, and other OSAP colleagues as an ambitious plan to study and exploit UFO technology. The papers describe Kona Blue, which would function as a successor to OSAP. Didn't mention UFOs or UAPs by name, but there are some clues, however, in the papers. For one, the documented purpose of Kona Blue was to identify potentially disruptive technologies by analyzing material of unique origin and engineering. Success in doing so would depend on gaining access to said materials. Now, Kona Blue would establish a system to collect sightings of such technology, including at locations of frequent reports. The papers reference advanced technology that has already been recovered and a plan to interview those familiar with those recoveries and how they might recover more. One section notes this recovered technology exists only within special access programs. The program would have recovered a medical division to study the physical and psychological effects of encounters with advanced aerial vehicles on humans, including deaths and injuries. Notably, Kona Blue experts would be tasked with handling and examining unusual and unique biological specimens. It is not explicitly stated what the specimens were, but it's not difficult to infer. Meant to be based in Las Vegas, the document notes that buildings already cleared to handle top secret materials were standing by. Businessman Robert Bigelow reportedly spent more than $1 million to bring his facilities into compliance with security requirements in preparation for the OSAP effort. His team had expected to receive unspecified but highly sensitive materials. Now, in 2009, Senator Harry Reid wrote to the Department of Defense to ask for special classification for the DIA program. Officials in Washington were alerted, opposition was mounted, and the program's budget disappeared. That's right, poof, and a little bit of smoke. As a result, in 2011, Lakatsky, Kelleher, and others tried to find another home for Kona Blue. Documents show the Department of Homeland Security was briefed about what OSAP had learned. Dr. Tara O'Toole, who's the Deputy Secretary for Science and Technology and noted scientist, was impressed enough to sign off on Kona Blue. However, as with OSAP, when top officials began knocking on doors to ask for access to the special materials, opposition to Kona Blue quickly mobilized and all the proposed programs were stopped dead. Lakatsky was measured when he spoke of the special materials officials wanted to access. He says there's materials and there's material. He said, are you talking about material to be investigated? In other words, pieces falling off of flying saucers, or are you talking about full-blown craft? You know, there's a big difference. Sure. I could get a little semantic there, I would think. Mm-hmm. Kona Blue was declassified by Arrow to discredit evidence and testimony provided by witnesses and whistleblowers. So Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, who's the former head of Arrow, said the people who tell of crashed saucers were all referring to Kona Blue. However, as the program never existed and only a handful of people ever knew it was proposed, it seems unlikely that witnesses who reported crashed saucers actually were seeing the results of Kona Blue. So a little insight into Kona Blue, Mally.
There we go.
There you go. So now you're getting a little bit of an idea of what they were doing behind the scenes there in the government. That's a little eye-opening, but it's a little bit of clarification as well. Let's tell you a little bit about Earth's nearest black hole. Last week, we were telling you about your aging ice hole up in Antarctica. Let's tell you about Earth's nearest black hole. It's all a double entendre on the show. You know that by now. Recently, the Gaia collaboration discovered the most massive black hole that originated from the collapse of a star in the Milky Way galaxy. It was identified through the orbital motion of its visible companion, which is a yellow giant star with an orbital period of 11.6 years. This black hole, which original as it is called Gaia BH3, and it has 33 times the mass of the sun, in striking resemblance to the masses of the first black holes detected through gravitational waves by LIGO in 2015, involving a merger of 29 and 36 solar masses. Gaia's BH3's motion through the galaxy implies that it originated from a disrupted star cluster in the halo of the Milky Way, where the oldest stars reside. Indeed, the iron to hydrogen ratio of its companion is 320 times smaller than the solar value, which suggests that Gaia BH3 is a relic of the early universe where heavy elements were scarce. Indeed, the research from three decades ago suggests that the first stars were much more massive than present-day stars because the gas clouds that birthed them contained primarily hydrogen and helium, with limited ability to cool and fragment into stars with less than 10 solar masses. As a result, star-forming regions in the early universe were efficient factories of massive black holes such as Gaia BH3. After formation, these black holes followed the collision-free dynamics of the dark matter and assembled into the extended halos of galaxies like the Milky Way. Now, on the other hand, the disk of the Milky Way contains younger stars because if it did form later in cosmic history, the disk is estimated to contain about 100 million black holes. That's a lot of black holes floating around, if you ask me. Given the local density of stars and their characteristic random motions, the author of this article calculated that over the age of the solar system, one of the black holes entered the outer envelope of the Oort cloud. I know you're familiar with the Oort cloud, Mally.
Aren't we all?
Oh, yeah. We all know where that's at. At 20,000 times the Earth-Sun separation. I know I'm probably losing you all with calculations right now. I'll try to make it a little simpler. This was likely the closest encounter ever of a black hole near Earth, lasting tens of thousands of years. That's what we're getting around to. If the black hole was dormant, such an encounter had a negligible impact on terrestrial life. However, if it was fed with a mass from a tightly bound companion star, it could have produced an X-ray flux larger than the solar X-ray flux by up to a factor of 100. The lesson here, Mally, that large black hole that's really close to us, you feed it, you get full of X-rays, you leave it alone, nothing happens. That's the main lesson to the story here. There's also a little lesson in here about how these things formed after the Big Bang. I think I'll leave that be. The author also goes on to kind of, I guess, prognosticate a little bit about how a trip to a black hole can end with a magnificent spectacle of gravitational lensing and gravitational time dilation. I don't know that I want to take a trip to a black hole.
No, thank you. They freak me out.
Yeah. The fact that, you know, not surviving it, I think, is, mm-hmm. is what would freak me out. But they're talking about such trips with AI-assisted medicine, which would bring humans to the longevity escape velocity. I don't want to think about stuff like that.
Nope, I'm good here on Earth.
Yeah, I'm safe right here. Right here doing the Supernatural News. Tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, boy, have we got some AI news.
Oh, my favorite part of the segment.
That's true. Oh, you know what? I did forget one final alien story. I'm sorry.
Why are you apologizing to me?
Well, this is why I'm apologizing, Mally. I told you we had put down our bag of dicks.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't. We have to pick up our bag of dicks one more time as naked alien photos from 1986 reveal that E.T. is white, lanky, and proud of his pecker.
Oh, there we go.
This is how we close out the segment. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, aliens have peckers.
That's right. I brought you through the black hole to get to your pecker.
Gotcha.
There you go. That's what that's what the long black hole story was all about. The strange occurrence happened at the University of Pavia in Italy in 1986, but the picture taking on a Nikon camera, wasn't it Paul Simon that was singing about a Nikon camera and he had to take a photograph? So Mamba, please don't take my Kodachrome away.
That does not sound familiar.
The song Kodachrome?
Uh-uh.
No? Okay.
Uh-uh.
So they were taking pictures on a Nikon camera, and they've only just resurfaced thanks to a post on Reddit. University of Professor has taken what some would consider the clearest picture yet of aliens after having a very close encounter nearly 40 years ago. Story starts in 1986, Mally, but the pictures appear to have only just emerged this past week on Reddit. According to the original poster called UFO, I think this is Natur. It ain't nature. I know that. That's spelled differently. A professor of the University of Pavia, Italy, came face-to-face with an alien while at work in 1986. And bizarrely, rather than the horrific quality of images we get from modern encounters, the man was able to snap 5 images of what looked like a human-shaped being wearing a white full-body PCV suit with a white long headpiece on. Now, see, these things look blurry to me. Although, you know, I don't know if you're... If you're going dong snapping, I guess you don't want it to be that sharp, do you?
It's just like Bigfoot. There's never a clear photo.
That's right. That's right. They also appear to be screaming and writhing around while standing up. These aliens are.
Ugh.
Yeah. Well, one of the images shows them grabbing their genitals, much like Michael Jackson. I don't know. The images.
Maybe he had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, that could be too. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when you got them, you know, hemmed up, you probably do. The images were published at the time with an Italian magazine explaining very specific details that the man had allowed them to share. Just as the publication I'm looking at edited a report on the UFO phenomena, they came across a resounding surprise. The images published in their pages and on the cover of the issue, they were taken completely by chance one summer evening in 1986 by a professor at the University of Pavia. Okay, I got to show you these pictures, but you're going to go, this is kind of underwhelming.
You're showing me an alien schlong?
Well, I'm trying not to show you the alien schlong. I mean, you don't want alien dick pics in your face, do you?
Mm.
No. Okay, so I'll...
I already get enough of those from listeners.
Okay, so I'll let the listeners do their job. Let's see here. I'm trying to find the best. Oh, God, that is a weird alien pic. They are huge, though. I'll give them that.
The schlong or the alien?
Both.
Oh.
So. The rest of the story goes like this. The quote is, he is a completely normal person who has always been skeptical of the reports of unidentified flying objects and is now... And is now also a testimony erroneous to the idea that his name is related to the disturbing figure captured by his camera. The university lecturer has agreed to give us what he considers to be evidence of his shocking experience in exchange for absolute confidentiality. Now, these look like art photos to me. I don't know. They went on to explain that the man used a Nikon camera with motor drive 55 millimeter lens to take the pics. And going into very specific details, he had the camera on the macro setting, 3.5 aperture shutter speed, quarter second polychrome film, and 40 ISO sensitivity. They added, shortly after the sun went down, the professor was completing some experiments on the optical perception of dogs. What that has to do with the price of tea in China, I don't know. How does a dog see things in the world, black and white, with what perception and what perspective? That alone is almost ridiculous, according to the person who wrote the article. We were missing the hypothetical alien. A dog joke, maybe, but the professor never solved the riddle, and dogs don't talk, is the way they end the article. Did any of this make sense to you, Mally?
Not really. He's kind of going off on a tangent.
Let me show you one of the pictures here, if I can get the ad out of the way. Why they decide to post an ad now, I have no idea. Here's a picture of the so-called alien. Doesn't this look like an art project to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Anywho, I digress. Okay, now it's time for us to take our break. When we come back, guess what? Neuralink has its first setback in a human brain implant. We'll talk about it and why it was probably a bad idea to put a chip in somebody's brain so quickly in the first place, and why they did it. That's one of the stories we'll talk about. Are you lining up to get that implant in the brain yet, Mel?
No. We already talked about this. I think it's a very bad idea.
It could be. We'll also talk about ghost spots of the dead and how they may stalk people after they're long gone. I know it sounds like a story we may have talked about before, but believe it or not, they may stalk you from beyond the grave. This is a brand new story with a twist. Also coming up, a museum in Germany may have found an actual honest-to-God zombie.
Okay.
That's coming up. We'll talk about a security camera catching a ghostly figure of a granddad at his grandson's, I believe grandson or granddaughter's crib, 1 month old, just 1 month old. Some of you may say touching. Some of you may go spooky. And the Costa Rican cave of death. She was good while she lasted. She just cost me too much money. That's a college joke. No, actually, the Costa Rica Cave of Death, Cueva de la Muerte. It's coming up in the second half of our program, Mally.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all this Wednesday. It's all today on Supernatural News and Perisher. We don't have any Perisher stories, people. You need to get on it. TimAtDarknessRadio.com. Send us your stories. It's coming.
They were too busy looking for the Northern Lights.
That's right. We'll talk about Northern Lights after the break, too, and see if you saw any. I'll tell you about how my mother went out looking for Northern Lights and left me to vacuum the stairs. After the break, it's Supernatural News on a Wednesday right here. Tim Dennis, Mally Fox on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games, and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need when you need them at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Moto.us.
Visit MODO.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Moto offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Moto always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.us for your free welcome bonus.
Moto is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Moto.us.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. It's a Supernatural News Wednesday, and also Parashare. If you have your Parashare stories, send them in, Tim at DarknessRadio.com, or you can go to DarknessRadioShow.com. Click on that blue button. You got 2 minutes to tell us your supernatural story. We'll play your lovely voice right here on the air. Mally, you mentioned Northern Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see them over the weekend?
I did, but not as strong as other people had. I went out a little bit too late.
You did, huh?
Yeah. By the time I realized what day it was, which I feel like is every day where I'm like, what day is today? by the time I went out, it was kind of, the show had kind of already happened. So I just got the tail end of it.
Kind of dissipated after that, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I saw a little bit, but good God, every other person's story on social media was photos, so I got the gist of it.
Richard Estep got the best photos of Chris Paranormal Author, who's got a brand new book coming out about demons. He got the best photos of the great purples and greens and everything. I want to know what people are looking at, because every time I go to look at Northern Lights, it's always white.
White?
Yeah, they're always white.
Really?
Yeah. There's nothing but white.
Oh, see, I just saw purple, but...
Yeah. I don't know. They're just white. There's nothing special about them.
Huh.
But you snap a picture of them, and you get different colors.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know the camera picks up... You guys don't have to write in and explain to me. I did photography for years. I know what the difference is, and light spectrums and all that other stuff, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just it. All I ever see is white. It's just like, oh, okay, that was cool. Yippee! But my mother had never seen the Northern Lights.
So, okay.
Yeah. So intern Yoko took her out to go see the Northern Lights. My mom came back and was like, "Oh, it was so neat. It was so special. It was so great. It was you know." It was, oh my God! What? Evidently, AI doesn't like the Northern Lights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You had to interrupt our story. It's that time again, Mal. Time for AI. Our first AI story today, Mally.
Uh-huh.
Is a happy one.
Well, that's good, at least.
No, I'm lying.
Oh.
Neuralink. Elon Musk's Neuralink chip suffers an unexpected setback in its first... inhuman brain implant. Yeah. See, this is why you don't rush this stuff to market.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we have the Food and Drug Administration. This is why they have controls. This is why they ask for experiments. Elon Musk's brain chip startup Neuralink suffered an unexpected problem, and its first ever human implant as the device began to detach from the patient's skull, reducing the amount of data it could capture, the company revealed on Wednesday. Neuralink's brain-computer interface, known as BCI, was implanted into 29-year-old patient Noland Arbaugh's brain in January. It's only May, and it already has an issue.
I thought you were going to say, like, it exploded or something.
Oh, God, that'd be horrible, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Just, that's it.
Yeah, like all jello mushy stuff.
It's just, that, gone. The chip is designed to help patients with paralysis control external technology using their mind. And Arbaugh, who's paralyzed from the shoulders down due to a diving accident 8 years ago, is participating in Neuralink's 6-year trial to test the device's safety. Just last month, Neuralink live-streamed a 9-minute video with Arbaugh showing how the BCI technology works. He was seen playing video games and explained that he simply imagines the cursor moving where he wants it to go, and it does it. Neuralink's chip contains 1,024 electrodes across 64 threads, which are thinner than a strand of human hair. They are programmed to gather data about the brain's neural activity and movement and tension, and send that data to the company's computer for decoding to transform the thoughts into action. However, in the weeks since the astounding video, a number of threads retracted from Arbaugh's brain, resulting in a net decrease in the number of effective electrodes. In other words, Mal, I think the brain's rejecting the electrode threads.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the guy, but...
I do too. As a result, Neuralink was not able to measure how effectively its system of electrodes and threads were performing. It's unclear how many threads have detached. This is actually a picture of Mr. Arbaugh.
Oh.
I know, isn't it sad?
Mm-hmm.
I wished that it would have worked for him. I really, truly
right.
do. In response to this change, we modified the recording algorithm to be more sensitive to neural population signals, improved the techniques to translate these signals into cursor movements, and enhanced the user interface, Neuralink added, insisting that the refinement will enhance the accuracy of Arbaugh's ability to control the cursor bits per second, or BPS. BPS, according to the company, is the standard measure for speed and accuracy. These refinements produced a rapid and sustained improvement in BPS that has now superseded Nolan's initial performance, according to Neuralink. This is what's confusing. Okay, so they've put it in the brain. They can't go back in and they can't rethread. They can't rethread right. the threads. So they have to work with what they have.
Mm.
That's not good news.
No, it's not. It's why you never buy a first model of
that's
anything.
Right. That's right. This is the Pinto of Neuralink.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign. The possibility, by the way, of removing Arbaugh's implant, a so-called explanation was floated. People familiar with the matter told the journal Neuralink, the company which recently changed its home base from Delaware to Nevada after Musk's spat with a Delaware judge who invalidated its $56 billion pay package at Tesla, considered removing the implant, but the problem hasn't posed a direct risk to Arbaugh's safety. Even so, the possibility of removing that implant, a so-called explantation, was floated. People familiar with the matter told the Wall Street Journal. Neuralink did not immediately respond to the New York Post's request for comment. I understand removing it if there's a danger.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part about this is back when he had it put in, he was so happy. He said, now I can literally lie in bed and play to my heart's content.
Yeah.
And And he said that, and he also put the caveat in there, or at least until the battery of my rechargeable chip dies.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, has to be a little miserable, but at the same time, he's getting newfound freedom, and now you're finding out that these little, I for lack of a better term, tendrils are letting loose, mm-hmm. and he doesn't have that. He's slowly losing that ability. They're managing to switch so that he's maintaining that ability. But how long before the brain rejects the chip?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's kind of sad. It makes you wonder, you know, are we not simply meant to have this kind of technology attached to our body? So the body's going to reject it. It's an interesting conundrum. Let's move on. That was very Seinfeld of me. Let's move on now.
It does sound like him.
Thanks. AI that simulates dead people risks haunting relatives, science warns. The psychological effect could be devastating, according to Cambridge University ethicists. That's my word of the day, ethicists. AI simulations of dead people risk unwanted digital hauntings, according to researchers. A new study by ethicists at Cambridge University found that AI chatbots capable of simulating the personalities of people who have passed away, known as dead bots. It sounds like a movie coming up by Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Should require safety protocols in order to protect surviving friends and relatives. Some chatbot companies are already offering customers the option to simulate the language and personality traits of deceased loved ones using artificial intelligence. Ethicists from Cambridge Leverholm Center for the Future of Intelligence say such ventures are high risk due to the psychological impact that they can have on people. It is vital that digital afterlife services consider the rights and consent, not just of those they recreate, but those that will have to interact with the simulations, said co-author Dr. Tomas Holonek from the Leverholm Center. He went on to say these services run the risk of causing huge distress to people if they are subjected to unwanted digital hauntings from alarmingly accurate AI recreations of those that they have lost. The potential psychological effect, particularly at an already difficult time, could be devastating. The findings were published in the journal Philosophy and Technology in a study called Grief Bots, Dead Bots, Postmortem Avatars on Responsible Application of Generative AI in the Digital Afterlife Industry. We need to pack a few more words in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The study details how AI chatbot companies that claim to be able to bring back the dead could use the technology to spam family and friends with messages and adverts using the deceased person's digital likeness.
What if you had like a vindictive ex and they signed you up for that?
Oh my God. How would you like to get a match.com ad from your dead ex?
Oh,
how is that for one. Psychological warfare?
Yeah. My Georgia guy. Ugh. Anybody else? I'm like, yeah, okay.
Oh, I know you missed me, but you could have somebody else if you signed up for Match.com.
Yeah, somebody used my likeness for Match.com a few years back.
Really?
Yeah, they used my name and my photos, everything.
Hmm. That's horrific.
Yeah, and you know how I found out? Is that one of our listeners who followed me got matched up with me, and he contacted me, and he's like, hey, Mally, I think someone's saying that they're you. So I had to go to match.com.
Whoa.
And then file it as, you know, make a little claim and all that stuff. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Did you go out with the listener?
Just kidding. Yeah. Yeah, I'm married to him. No.
Oh, look at that. I give you a rim shot, but I'm not on that button bar right now. And then I married him. So there's a happy ending.
Yeah.
Literally. No, I'm kidding.
He got one.
Hey now. See? Wow. Good joke. I like that. Wow. So the doctor went on to say, this area of AI is an ethical minefield. It's important to prioritize the dignity of the deceased and ensure that this isn't encroached on by a financial motive of digital afterlife services, for example. At the same time, a person may leave an AI simulation as a farewell gift for loved ones who are not prepared to process their grief in this manner. The rights of both data donors and those who interact with AI afterlife services should be equally safeguarded. I don't know. Is that a healthy thing to do? Leave yourself behind for those who are in grief, Mel?
I don't think so. I think it's, they need to move on. They need to grieve and move on. So if I'm lingering, it's not allowing them to grieve and heal.
That's true. Yeah. I don't see that as being healthy.
Mm-mm.
You know, not healthy at all. All right. Meanwhile, some people may use the voices of the dead to help them grieve. Others are using the voices of the dead to help them wank themselves.
What?
OpenAI's new ChatGPT voice has people hot under the collar, Mal, as it's weirdly seductive. Really? Really? Do you ever think an AI voice would be like, oh my God, that's so hot?
Not at all.
No. The new voice of OpenAI's ChatGPT has been unveiled ahead of the release of GPT-40, with Randy social media users comparing its wildly seductive tones to saucy celebs. I gotta tell you, I use Speechify to read my books.
Uh-huh.
And I've got a choice of three celebrities that I can use. One of them is Gwyneth Paltrow, but every once in a while it hangs up on a word.
Uh-huh.
And it's far from sexy.
Oh.
So it'll be like... and it'll make the weirdest noises. And it's alarming. It's alarming. OpenAI's new ChatGPT voice has caused a stir on social media, with some describing it as weirdly seductive. Hello, GPT-40 was announced on Monday, May 13th, with its parent tech company proudly labeling it our new flagship model that can reason across audio, vision, and text in real time. Some reckon the popular chatbot's new voice sounds a lot like Hollywood actress Scarlett Johansson in her role in the 2013 romantic sci-fi flick Her. Still don't think that's sexy, though. In a live demonstration of the release, OpenAI engineers and the firm's chief technology officer, Mira Murati, showed off the software's capabilities using a mobile phone. They encouraged it to be more expressive while making up its own bedtime story before asking it to switch to a robotic voice. The team then asked GPT-40 to end the story by singing. Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
That's creepy. Following the event, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman cryptically posted a single word status on X, formerly Twitter, reading Her. No, no. He has previously admitted the film, which sees Johansson playing the artificially intelligent virtual assistant Samantha, is his favorite. Oh, you creep. And fellow X users were also quick to comment. One posted a meme showing Johansson saying, "And now I'm going to get weirdly seductive for no apparent reason." They captioned it, "GPT-40, literally any request at all." Another joked, "Okay, GPT-40, same answer, but please sound less horny." Meanwhile, a third quipped, "Okay, GPT-40, I'm at home now. You can turn the horny to 11 again." Oh, people on the net are so weird.
It's like they're trying to make us not be in contact with another human with all this AI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they want us just to stay in our homes and not, you know, I don't know, just weird.
Yeah. It just gets more and more bizarre.
Yeah.
A fourth penned, "I'm ready for all of this. Bring on the cringe maxing bedtime stories." And a fifth laughed, The O in GPT 4.0 obviously stands for orgasm. Oh, God. No. Even ex-owner and CEO Elon Musk had something to say. He wrote, "Something off about the voice and intonation reminded me of Scarlett's Under Your Skin movie." Of course, he makes the wrong reference, Mr. Awkward. OpenAI added of its latest product, GPT 4.0 or 4D, can respond to audio inputs in as little as 232 milliseconds with an average of 320 milliseconds, which is similar to in a conversation. It matches GPT-4 Turbo performance on text in English and code with significant improvement on text in non-English languages, while also being much faster and 50% cheaper in the API. GPT-4o, which is especially better at vision and audio understanding compared to existing models. Her sees Johansson's character develop a romantic relationship with Theodore Twombly, who's played by Joaquin Phoenix. It was written and directed by Spike Jonze. So there you go. I say.
So she gave the A-OK for them to use her voice?
No, I think it's like a impressionist type deal. It's not her voice exactly.
But you know how like sometimes they can sue for like likeness?
Well, technically it's parody. It falls under the parody rule.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not her exactly. It's something similar to it, and they rename it with a different name. So Samantha, because it's named Samantha, right, doesn't mean it's her from the movie. It's just a voice that sounds similar named Samantha. Therefore, it falls under the parody rule, and you don't have to pay Ms. Johansson for that. I'm sorry, Mrs. Jost, because she's married to Colin Jost.
Right.
So you don't necessarily have to pay her for that. So I suppose they feel like they get off, you know, scot-free for that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Although if you have her do a PSA for growing up poor and taking a school lunch, then by all means, then I think it's Scarlett Johansson. So, you ever seen those PSAs?
Uh-uh.
No? With Scarlett Johansson? Uh-uh. No? Okay.
No.
I just kicked that one over your head then. That's all right. No big deal. I won't even give myself a rim shot for that one. No, you haven't seen her sitting at the school desk and talking about, if it weren't for having a good school lunch, I wouldn't have been able to focus on my acting.
Nope.
No? Okay. Oh, I have to send you the video someday when you're really bored.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to some spooky stories, shall we?
Let's do it.
A security camera snaps a ghostly figure staring at a child 1 month after their grandpa's death.
Okay.
Yeah. A man has shared a spooky image picked up by one of his internal home security cameras that appears to show a ghostly figure standing over his son while he sleeps. A chilling image from that home security camera appears to show a ghostly figure staring at a sleeping child. The picture was recently shared to the Ghosts Caught on Camera group on Facebook by John Kipke from Michigan.
Oh.
Yeah, your backyard. The timestamp suggests it was captured in August of 2022. John wrote, "I'm not sure what this is, but one of my inside cameras picked this up. Unfortunately, the inside system does not go in video mode, just snapshots of movement and sound. To my knowledge, I've never been contacted from the other side or had any strange things happen to me in my house. But I live in a 100-year-old farmhouse. Also, that is my youngest son sleeping on the floor. I just thought this was interesting. I'm not sure what this is, but one of my inside cameras picked this up. Unfortunately, the inside system does not go in." Explaining further in the comments section, John said he has 5 cameras inside the house, but only one seemed to pick up anything on the night. It only took the one photo, unfortunately. He also said the boy's grandfather passed away in July of 2022, 1 month before this timestamp on that image. Very interesting. People replied to the post with their guesses as to what the figure could be. One person wrote, "It looks like a gentleman. You can see the outline of his body, head, shoulders, and arms. He's also wearing a hat." Another said, "Looks like it's looking at your son." A third person said, "Looks like an older woman with short dark hair wearing a house coat." Now, how can you be so far off? It's it's a gentleman looking at your son. Oh, right. No, it's a lady in a house coat. Sometimes I don't get what people are looking at. Looks to be glancing down at the child, while a fourth person said, "Wow, I don't see a man like other people. I see a woman with black hair and a 40s or 50s style dress, wearing an apron over it. Just the half apron. But yes, she's looking at your son. Her face is too blurry to make out any details, but it appears that she has somewhat short curly hair." Others, however, weren't convinced something paranormal was afoot. One comment read, "It looks like a smudge on the lens." A second said, "Looks like mist to me," while a third added, "Motion blur." Tell you what, I believe there is there a picture of this? I believe there's a picture of this here on this article. So I'm going to post this article in the description of this show. So you can go look at this picture and you can tell us whether you believe that this is grandpa, woman in an apron, motion blur. Those are your three choices. Because I'm interested to see what it is exactly you see. Let's move on to another haunting story. This headline says, "I took a photo at a haunted jail and didn't spot the chilling detail until I returned home." A woman who visited one of Britain's most haunted locations realized she had caught a ghost on camera when she got home. Bodmin Jail, which we had Richard Estep on, he talked about Bodmin Jail and staying overnight there, was constructed in Cornwall in 1779 and was closed down in 1927. It has since been transformed into a tourist hotspot with ghost tours and a hotel, attracting paranormal investigators hoping to catch a glimpse of one of the many spirits said to haunt it. Bodmin Jail was even featured on an episode of Most Haunted. Legend has it that many of the ghosts are former prisoners who were executed at the prison and still roam its gloomy corridors and cells. Tanya Woods, who visited the jail for her birthday 12 years ago and noticed something in one of the photos she took when she got home, says she recently shared the image to a ghost sightings Facebook group where she explained she showed it to the staff and was offered a free overnight stay with a medium for the photo. Cool. You get a coupon with it.
Coupon.
Coupon. You get a coupon, you know.
I wonder if you get a twofer.
A twofer. Yeah, that's a twofer coupon when you show them the picture of the haunting over there by the Bodmin Jail. It's very Minnesotan of me, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Despite not noticing the ghostly face when she was at Bodmin Jail, Tanya told the Mirror that she felt an overwhelming feeling of sadness when she ventured through the cells. She also felt ice cold in certain places, whereas her family said they all felt quite warm. So she's got a temperature regulation issue as well.
Yes.
Yeah, might want to bring a blanket next time. Tanya told the Mirror, "I didn't realize I'd caught the ghost until I got home. I was living in Cornwall at the time. I contacted them and went back with my photo. The director at that time said the spirit had been caught before by a few other people." Tanya eventually chickened out of the free overnight stay with a medium as she was quite scared and feared something bad was going to happen to her. According to Haunted Britain, many visitors to Bodmin Jail report being overwhelmed or overcome by feelings of desolation and despondency as they explore its dark maze of dark corridors and claustrophobic cells. Among the site's most notable ghosts is Selena Wadge, who was hanged for the murder of her son in the 19th century. Legend has it that her ghost reaches out to small children who often ask their parents about a crying lady in a long dress.
All right, that's creepy.
Yeah, it's a little bit creepy. Yeah. It's especially if it's the youngins that come to you and go, "Mommy, what's up with the crying lady right over there?" Yeah, don't know that I could deal with that from the kidlins. That's for sure. That's for sure. Our next story has to do with something even creepier, Mally. We're going to Germany, where a recently found skeleton is surmised to be a zombie.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's possible it was even treated like the undead. Skeletal remains with rods clamped across their necks, dirt in their mouths, or spears pinning down their body. These are just a few of the tactics that Europeans of the past used to ward off the resurrected dead, or zombies, if you will. Several archaeological sites have pointed to revenant graves across Europe where there's evidence that people were worried about the dead coming back, spanning 18th century Polish vampires to ancient Greek zombie burials. A recent discovery in Oppen, Germany, found the remains of a man who was pinned by a large stone placed over the deceased's bent legs. That, according to Saxony-Anhalt State Museum of Prehistory, which first broke the news of the discovery. The museum suggests that this is an example of a revenant grave, as the rock was placed in such a deliberate way to prevent the corpse from rising. Now, that's a bit creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Based on the location of the grave, the museum believes the Oppen man was from the Bell Beaker culture, which refers to European elites that used high-grade materials in the Bronze and Neolithic ages. They are not a people, but a ruling class. It's like people who own a Ferrari today, said Rafael Garrido Pena, who is a prehistoric archaeologist at the Autonomous University of Madrid, who focuses on Bell Beaker culture. Many graves and cemeteries of this culture are known from central Germany. The State Office for Heritage Management and Archaeology Saxony-Anhalt wrote in an email, "The grave at Oppen came as a surprise, as revenant burials are not well attested for this culture. However, as the discovery is quite recent, more analysis is needed before a full study and conclusion can be drawn." Garrido Pena cautions against assuming that the grave is a revenant one or even a bell beaker, as he was found without any decorative artifacts and is yet to be confirmed through carbon dating. Garrido Pena says the use of stones on top of burials is common. Sometimes the stone is just the roof of the grave or graves that have been sealed, a gesture to close the burial cycle, he says. However, he does believe the case of the Oppen man is something special, given the stone's crafted shape and deliberate position. It is very well made, located horizontally on the lower part of the body, he says. He believes zombie fears could be one possible explanation of many, including executions.
Mm.
Yikes. In 2009, a seated cadaver was found at a site in Humaneos, Spain, that dates from the Bronze Age, similar to the Oppen man's estimated age. He wasn't completely buried, but seated and buried up till the half of the body. He was exposed at the top until he lost all the flesh and the skull fell off.
Ew.
Yeah, that according to Anna Herrero Corral, who is a prehistoric archaeologist and researcher at the University of Vienna, who led the grizzly study in 2020. We don't know why they did this. One interpretation is that they buried just half of the body to prevent him from moving or escaping, she says, explaining that it is impossible to know whether the man was dead before burial or if he died due to entrapment. The thought of that is horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Just to think that that's the way you went.
Yep.
Both Herrero Corral and Garrido Pena suggest the word deviant is a more fitting term than revenant to describe such unusual practices. One thing Garrido Pena can say for sure is that our prehistoric ancestors were, in fact, scared of the zombie-like undead. He's seen plenty of secondary burials when the body decomposes in one place and then is moved to a definitive tomb with careful arrangements of bones framing the skull. If they have flesh, they are not dead. They are not alive, says Garrido Pena. This belief was widespread across many different cultures, dating from the Copper Age to the 20th century. Ethnographic works tell us that these people have a common belief that dead people are dangerous until the flesh is gone. It's almost barbaric.
Mm-hmm.
Given the anatomical position of the Oppen man's bones, we know he did not receive a second burial. LDA Saxony-Anhalt explains that the grave will now be analyzed by an anthropologist. Though more studies may reveal further insights, for now it's uncertain if the skeleton was a feared Bronze Age zombie, although it's possibly a secret that he's taken to the grave.
Hmm.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So, worst way to be buried, Mally, if you had to pick one.
That's not sounding very good, how he was buried. At first, I thought you were going to say they thought he was a vampire. Because you know how they used to do the stuff like the brick in the mouth and right. remove the head and blah, blah, right. blah, stake through the heart.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What would a vampire burial, a zombie burial, or a bicycle burial be the worst one for you? Do you know what a bicycle burial is?
No, but I mean, none of them are probably good.
Bicycle burial is where they, well, for lack of a better term, I know the listeners are waiting for the punchline. A bicycle burial is where they bury you in the ground with nothing but your ass up over the grass so they can park your bike tire right inside your car.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Bicycle burial.
Gotcha.
You're a bike rack, in other words. Which one is worse?
Probably my ass up in the air.
Yeah. Especially if that listener from Match.com comes back.
Yeah.
Just saying. Yeah. Just saying. Anywho, we can move on. Speaking of horrible burials and how you'd be found, the Costa Rican Cave of Death. I don't know what that means. Which, by the way, does really sound like an ex-girlfriend from college. We're two stories away from the end of the program. By the way, folks, if you have a story for us for Parishare, you can send it in, tim@darknessradio.com, or go to our website, which is darknessradioshow.com. There's a little blue button on the right-hand side. Click on that blue button. Leave your Parishare story with us. And by voice note, we'll put it here on the show. You have 2 minutes to leave your Parishare story. If you need more time, click on the blue button again. We'll stitch your story together. We'll play it right here on the show. This actually sounds like a Parishare story. The Costa Rica's okay. Cave of Death, which kills anything, Mally, that ventures inside.
Okay.
I'm intrigued. Color me intrigued. A small, unassuming cave in Venecia, Costa Rica has earned a reputation for proving almost immediately fatal. I have friends in Costa Rica that keep telling me, you have to come here. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I hear about Costa Rica kills you. I don't know that I want to go. I'm intrigued, but I don't know that I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
At first glance, the cave known as Cueva de la Muerta in the Spanish language, may not seem particularly dangerous. It's small, making it barely large enough for a human to fit inside. And there's no perilous drops, sharp stalactites, or any other obstacles that would make it seem dangerous. If you tried to crawl inside, however, you might find yourself feeling a little strange. Within a few seconds, you would fall unconscious, your breathing would stop, and you'd literally die. That's not a great way to start a cave spelunking adventure. That's for sure. For any human visitor, the plethora of warning signs surrounding the cave's entrance, coupled with its awkwardly small size, ensures that such a fate would be highly unlikely. For small animals, though, a quick venture inside inevitably leads to an early demise. The reason that the cave is so dangerous is that it is almost completely filled with carbon dioxide, enough to cause almost immediate unconsciousness and death. It's a very small cave, but it's unusual that there's substantial seep of carbon dioxide gas coming from the far slot at the back of the cave, said cave explorer Guy Van Rentergem. Small animals will enter the cave and asphyxiate, usually in a few moments, he went on to say. Inevitably, the dangerous nature of the cave has made it more popular than ever, with tourists flocking to take selfies and to get as close as they can to it. Suffice to say, if you ever do happen to find yourself at Costa Rica's Cave of Death, stay well clear of Cueva de la Muerte.
Hmm.
What do you think, Mally? Do you take a deep breath in and run into the Cave of Death?
Nope.
No?
No, I'm not taking any chances.
Not taking that chance, huh?
Mm-mm. I'm not very daring.
Okay. Well, if it's only,
how about you?
If it's only taking out small animals, I could take a deep breath and run in real quick.
I'm not chancing it.
No, I grew up a dentist. My grandfather used to smoke me out with farts all the time. I think I could take a Cave of Death.
Isn't that kind of like a Dutch oven or something like that?
If it's under the covers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's El Duce Blanquero, I believe, in Spanish. So,
El Duce Blanquero.
Yeah, I think that's what that is. So, I failed Spanish, in case you couldn't tell. So, yeah, that's the other reason I don't go to Costa Rica. I would probably be handed a potato and a peeler and not know why I got it, but probably because I asked for it in Spanish. I was so horrible at it.
Mm.
And finally, Mally, as we're approaching this weekend up at the Palmer House, the Palmer House Hotel in Pottergrass for Pooches, I figured we'd end today's program with a little bit of Swift Justice.
Okay.
And of course, with those pooches we love so well. By the way, I'm looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be a good weekend. There were 4 tickets left as of yesterday for the event. So if you don't have a ticket and you want to get in on it, folks, right now. Go right now. Walk, don't run. Or actually, run, don't walk. You don't want to walk. You want to run. To pottergrassforpooches.com or go to darknessradioshow.com. Click on the events page and click on that link and scoop up one of those tickets to come hang out with us in Sauk Center, Minnesota. We're going to have a good time. Here's our dog story to end our show today. Sometimes you just don't mess with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they have sharp teeth, not because they got paws with claws. Sometimes it's because they're smarter than you. And sometimes it's because they know how to stand up for themselves.
Okay.
A woman begs for help as a dog won't stop punching her husband in the crotch, but people can't stop laughing, Mally.
Okay.
Here's the story of Juno, the adorable 2-year-old German Shepherd mix. And it's as sweet as can be with one of her owners, but she can't help but go all Muhammad Ali on her other human. Float like a butterfly, punch him in the pee box. I don't know what that means. No matter how well trained a dog is, it's important to respect that they are animals and have the potential to lash out if threatened. Just remember that. This is the case even more so for rescue dogs, especially if they have been abused or mistreated by their previous owners. That being said, most dog breeds are highly intelligent, and they're curious creatures who thrive on learning and can often be taught good behavior with the right training. One new pet owner has reached out for help to a team of dog owners after noticing some very odd and concerning actions that her new rescue dog has been displaying towards her husband. He probably had it coming. Posting to social media, she wrote, "How do I stop my dog from punching my husband in the dick?" Continuing with the surprising message, she added, "We just adopted Juno 3 weeks ago. She's a 2-year-old German Shepherd mix who's as sweet as can be." Well, she's still sweet as can be. She just has a mean right hook.
Mm-hmm.
Right. She's a fully house-trained dog and smart as a whip and grasping early training commands pretty easily. Sounds good to start, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One of our only current hurdles is that we are still doing desensitization. It's been a long day, Mally.
You're talking to me who has trouble speaking up, you know.
Yeah.
Well, like right now.
Exactly. Me too.
Pronouncing words with more than 2 syllables. That's what I meant to have. Like you said, it's late.
Well, I got like 4 hours.
A long day.
I got like 4 hours sleep last night. She says that we are still doing desensitization with her and our resident cat. And that's not what I'm looking for guidance on today. So she's not looking for guidance on desensitization between her and the resident cat. Juno keeps punching my husband in the dick. She says, "I work from home, so she knows me very well and only jumps when overexcited. My husband, however, does not, and he works in an outside office. When he comes home, she is so excited to see him that she jumps on him." Well, okay, she's excited. She's a puppy. Right. She's 2 years old, right? "I've been trying to correct it as it happens, but it's the one thing we can't nail down. Unfortunately, she's at the perfect height where her paws go right for his crotch every time while she's jumping. If he turns to the side in anticipation of her jumping, she will whip around and get to his front and right there." Sorry, I got a little carried away, but it's so fun to punch a guy in the dick when you're a dog. Today, she was perfectly fine, watching him happily after he gave her a good neck scratch. And suddenly, she went full Muhammad Ali on the family jewels, causing him to spill his coffee. This will happen even if he is standing around dead silent, or if he's just normally walking around. And it's always the dick, she says.
Well, because it's the height, she said.
Yeah.
It's not like it's aiming for the dick. It just happens to be, you know, the perfect height.
That's right. She goes on to say, we have tried ignoring her, telling her down, telling her to sit before getting attention, etc. But she can't stop dick punching.
Oh.
She doesn't bark at the door or go crazy when he arrives at home. So it's not like he overexcites her when he gets home. It's usually just him being around. Even hours later, she also likes to stick her nose in our crotches. Totally normal, annoying, but not a problem, because she is quite literally at perfect height to just go and do that. My husband is tired of getting Popeyed by the pooch. What other things can we try to prevent this from happening? Now, you've reached out to the cesspool that is the internet, Mally.
Uh-huh.
What does the cesspool wash back up? Right?
Oh, God. Something stupid.
Yes. Naturally, people reading the Reddit posts were in stitches and posed a number of questions and solutions to try. One person suggested, my dog did the same when she was young. I crouched down when greeting her until me coming home wasn't as exciting anymore. It did take years, however. That's what one Redditor said. Never give any attention when jumping. This is what another user said. Maybe even pushing her away is positive attention to her. I learned a well-timed sidestep. So my dog jumped into nothing and then crouched to greet. It seemed to work for me.
Hmm.
That's one suggestion.
Or a nut cup.
A nut cup. That's a good one. Okay. Someone else joked, I don't have anything constructive to add, but I do want you to know that I am a practice manager at a veterinary hospital, and your post had us howling with laughter.
Oh.
I do hope you are able to remedy the targeted jumping. All I have is a smart-ass answer. A video camera runs you $10,000.
True. True.
That's true. Juno the dick jabber. That's what you label her. $10,000 in your grubby little palm. You go on a nice vacation, although you're not going to be able to perform on the honeymoon.
Right. Grab that frozen bag of peas.
That's right. You're going to need some healing. Not sexual healing, but you're going to need some healing.
Right.
That's for sure. So there you go. And that's how we end Supernatural News today.
Very nice.
I do it in honor of Murray, our rescue dog that we're honoring this weekend at Pottergrass for Pooches. By the way, if you can't make it to the Palmer this weekend to contribute to Eagle's Nest and the shelter there at Eagle's Nest, it's real simple. You can contribute to Pottergrass for Pooches by going to pottergrassforpooches.com. I wish and hope and pray that you can do so and contribute to the animals that way.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my wish and hope for you this weekend, that maybe you have some spare change. Maybe you cut back on a latte or two or whatever, and you do that. And you do that in Murray's name this weekend. That's our hope, that you do that. And do it in memory maybe of one of the animals that you've lost in your life. So that would be something nice for this weekend. So,
yeah,
there you go. Mally, it's my turn. My time to turn it to you real quick before we turn the program off today.
Okay.
Besides your lovely, shining, smiling face on Max, what you got going on?
You know what? Nothing much. Just check out paranormalgirl.com and that's basically it.
Yeah. There you go. Strange Evidence is on Max. You can catch it on demand. Also, Discovery Plus. Set yourself up a little mini marathon. Check that out.
There we go.
Yeah.
Grab some popcorn.
Yeah.
Order pizza.
Order pizza. Mm-hmm. Contribute to the economy. Do your thing.
Yep.
this weekend, folks. I can't stress it enough. Go to darknessradioshow.com. Go to the events page. Get two of those four tickets. One for you, one for a buddy. Come on up. Join us at the Palmer House Hotel. And we're going to have a good time. We're going to be up there ghost hunting. So ghost hunting, we've got some lectures up there. We have a psychic up there this weekend. And we're going to have a good time. We're gonna hang out, have a good time. So that's going on this weekend. Also, take advantage of the events page. Get a ticket to Michigan Paracon in August. Myself and Mally will be there. We're going to have a good time there as well. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. We're going to play Spin the Organizer. I think we're going to put Brad and Tim on a big twister board. And yeah, I think that's going to happen sometime during the weekend. So, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff going on at Michigan Paracon. You never get bored. You can't.
No, it's not impossible. At all.
No. Well, there's way too much good paranormal stuff going on at Michigan Paracon. So check out the events page for that as well. So there you go. Good stuff. I've had a lot of people recently emailing me and saying, where's Bruiser? Folks, I tell you every week where Bruiser is. Bruiser has had some home repairs recently. They tried to have a refrigerator installed in the home. And whenever installers crimp a water line in a refrigerator that has an ice maker, it wreaks havoc on your home. And it flooded the floor all the way down to the subflooring. And unfortunately, where Bruiser and Mrs. Bruiser live in North Carolina, not only is it hard to get materials, but it's hard to get people to fix that. They had a restoration company come out that's been trying to fix the subflooring and everything, but it's taken extra time. Also, Bruiser's had some opportunities with AML, and so he's taking advantage of some of those opportunities with AML. So we're hoping to have him back on the show sometime soon, but it's a little open-ended. So we will keep you updated as to when Bruiser will be back on the show. But in the meantime, Mally and Jess are hitting it out of the park. So there you go. But if you have questions for Bruiser, please feel free to contact him on social media. And he's been very open and very honest and very, very, very good about answering your questions. So, yeah, feel free to ask him as well. So there you go. That'll do it for today's program, folks. Tomorrow on the big program, Dr. Heather Lynn. I'm looking forward to this, Mally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, Dr. Heather Lynn, I came across her and reminded of her once again. I've heard her on Coast to Coast AM. I've heard her on different programs, seen her on different programs as well. You may have seen her on programs like Ancient Aliens. You might have heard her on Coast to Coast AM. Boy, she is, talk about one of the more brilliant minds in the paranormal. Tomorrow we'll talk about different things like the Anunnaki. We'll talk about ancient aliens. We'll talk about ancient history. And we'll get into it. There's about, in the book, Women on the Fringe, there's about, she only has a small amount of room to write. Mm-hmm. But there's three paragraphs where she tackles about anywhere from 6 to 12 different subjects, Mally. And in that paragraph, it is so paranormally poetic. I wanted to get the phrase right. Paranormally poetic that I want to dissect just what she's written there. And I want to go through it point by point with her. Because she's got such interesting thoughts about our world, where we've come from the ancients to now. Mm-hmm. And I want to pick her brain a little bit about why we've made this transition from the ancients to technology, and have we made mistakes?
Okay.
Have we made mistakes in the way that we deal with the paranormal, and how we've made those mistakes, and what we do to try to make contact maybe again with those civilizations, or what those civilizations have found? So we'll go in that direction tomorrow with Dr. Heather Lynn. That's coming up tomorrow on Darkness Radio. So there you go. For Mally Fox, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much, folks, for continuing to tune in to this great program. And we appreciate you tuning into this great program. We will see you tomorrow for Dr. Heather Lynn right here on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
MODO.US. Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
It's on, the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. Buy two select laundry appliances and get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop all things Maytag, including the new stackable Pet Pro laundry system that removes pet hair from clothes. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Modo Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo.us.
Visit Modo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at Modo.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Modo.us.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Modo Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Modo Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
It's time to play big on Modo Social Casino. America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Modo.us has live casino games. It's time. Play big. Win bigger. On Modo.us today.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Modo.us for more details.
It's time.
Modo.us. Modo.us.
Visit Modo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at Modo.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Modo.us.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spent on Modo, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Modo, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Modo Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Modo Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Modo Casino.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Modo.us.
Visit Modo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at Modo.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Modo.us.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day.
That's Daly.
Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day.
That's Daly.
Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.